Matthew chapter 10. I have with me a box that had toothpaste in it. But one of the reasons why I bought this particular thing is because right on the box in pretty big letters it says value pack, 20% more product. And I thought, well, man alive, I can get more for my money. And I bought, I think, two boxes of it. And then the second box, I got out of the drawer and opened it and put the toothpaste in the drawer. And I got to looking at it, and it says, value pack, 20% more product, in big letters. And then in little letters, it says, on sizes up to 4.6 ounces. And guess what? The box I bought is bigger than that. So I assumed, does that word sound familiar? I assumed I was getting 20% more, but I was wrong. I have looked several times at this thought of the danger of assuming. I want to look at one of those this morning. I have looked at that it's easy to assume that planning means progress and promises mean protection and prayer means promptness and profession means possession. I want to look at this, and you may not get it until I hopefully get it to you. Position means purpose. It's easy to assume that position means purpose. I mean by that, if we aren't careful, we'll assume our value in life depends on our position. How high we are in ranking, how big we are, how noticeable we are, how big a job we do. But I think we would assume wrong. There's a danger in assuming. Look in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? A farthing is, in our day, a half a cent. You can get two of them for half of a penny. Could I say that ain't much? It is as though you almost get them for nothing. They, in our estimation, are not very valuable. Sitting out in the woods, go out there and work and walk, but I also go out and pray, and I've got a bucket to sit on. Have trouble kneeling in the dirt. So I was sitting there the other day and I was praying. I always pray with my eyes open. I love to look up to the sky and try to picture God looking at me and me listening to Him and Him listening to me. And you get there and you get still and all the livestock starts coming around. And there was a bird that flew down probably about 15 feet from me, landed on a tree and just sat there a minute. And really pretty bird, have no idea what kind it was, don't care. But he sat there for a few minutes and he flew off, and I thought in my mind, you know, I may be the only human that ever sees that bird. That's probably a good chance. He's out there in the woods, and there's a good chance that no one has ever seen that bird before and never will again. And I thought, well, what value is he? Then it went further and thought about all the ants and the worms and all that stuff, and I thought, what value are they? And the Lord seemed to speak to my heart and said, you're not looking at it right. You're looking at their value according to your estimation and from your viewpoint. If you look at them from my viewpoint, they're very valuable. Whether a man or a woman or a boy or a girl sees them or appreciates them or not, as long as I am, they're very valuable. If you think you aren't valuable this morning, you're wrong. If you think because you don't hold some big position or make a big lot of noise in the world or have a whole lot of people you're controlling or have some really unique position or high-ranking place that you're not valuable, that there's no purpose in your life, you're wrong. We would be wrong to assume that position means purpose, and if we don't have position, we have no purpose. We would be wrong. And then notice what he says in these verses also. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? They may be almost worthless to man, but they aren't to God. John said he knew when that bird flew in right there on my tree. And he knew when he flew off, and if he got hungry, he knew how to feed him. And if he gets sick, he knows that. That bird is important to God. He has value. Then the Lord says on, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He says a sparrow has little or no value to the average person, but they do to God. And by the way, you are more valuable to God than a whole lot of sparrows. There is a value in you. There is a purpose for your life. You may feel worthless this morning. You may feel like you can't do anything. You don't do anything. You don't count. Well, I say you're wrong. You are valuable to God. Could I mention, look in verse 31 again, fear ye not, therefore, for you have more value than many sparrows. I see there our worth. He said, you're more valuable. The word value means a lot of things. It means value. But it has this thought, matter. You matter to God. You matter to Him. You are important to Him. Now, you may not matter to Washington. They don't care. You live or die, except for your vote. And you may not matter to Wall Street. They don't care about your little pennies or mine either. You may not matter to a whole lot of people. You may not matter to most people, but you matter to God. You are worth something to Him, not because of what you do, but because of you. You matter. You have worth. Sometimes, and you probably do too, feel worthless and think, what good can I do? But our view is limited. Oh, we need to look at it from God's point of view. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly. Now I know in part. I can't see all that God sees. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. He said, everything I made, He said, I made it to show you what I can do. And it is an example of my work and my power and my ability and my love, and it's a revelation of me. He said, everything, by the way, listen, you're a part of that creation. We don't have to go way up into heaven, into the skies, into the solar system, and be amazed at the power and amazed at the size and the giganticness and the centrifugal forces and all that, to be amazed at what God has done. We can do that, but we don't have to go to space. All we've got to do is look at ourselves and see something magnificent that God has done. I'm talking about our worth. We are worth something to Him. Job said, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things. And we can look around this world. You can go to far countries. You can go to America and be amazed at the beauty. Or you can just look at yourself in the mirror. For we are a part of that creation. We are a part of that work. I say this morning, we are worth something. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Those thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, I am doing great things with you and in you, and I have a good goal in mind by doing it. Why? Because you're worth something to me. You're valuable to me. You matter to me. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I say the Father sent the Son, and the Son came to this earth, this sin-cursed earth. Boy, I tell you what, that was a big deal for Him, for He was holy God. And for Him to take on a body to come to this sin-cursed world, it was a big deal. And I don't cheapen it by saying that. And he didn't just come and live in this world and experience the problems we do and the burdens we do and the troubles we do and the people we do. He came and gave his life on the cross. And it wasn't the pain that was so bad. It was the separation between him and his Father. But he did it willingly. And then he arose from the dead and returned to heaven. And he did it all for me. He did it all for you. You must be worth something. You must matter to him. Could I remind you? He did that while you were a sinner. Not now that we're a little bit cleaned up, a little bit better. But he did it for us while we were rotten and wicked and vile and didn't want anything to do with him. I'm saying we're worth something to him. A bird, what value? One of many, and the many don't hardly matter. What contribution to this world does a little bird make? Well, maybe not so much to you, but it does to God, and so do you. It says, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Well, for some of us, that ain't too big of a deal because they're falling out quick. But he knew they fell out, and he knows how many's left. And I thought about this, and it's exactly what he's saying. If I know how many hairs are on your head, I know everything else about you. And there is nothing insignificant about you to me. I know everything about you. Why? Because you matter. You're worth something. I mentioned first our worth. It's easy to assume that position means purpose. If I've got a position, if I matter, if I'm shaking the world, if everybody knows me, if I'm doing big things, then there's a purpose for me. But if I'm not, what good am I? Oh, it's easy to assume wrongly our worth. But then I want to mention, secondly, our work. It talks about sparrows and it talks about people. And I thought about that little sparrow. Now, that little bird yesterday, or I believe it's Friday, I don't remember which, I tell you, it's a pretty bird. And I enjoyed it being there. And I think the Lord helped me to get some good stuff by seeing the bird. But that bird was not an eagle. I'll tell you what, eagles amaze me. Or even a hawk that soars and gets up on the currents and just flies around and just one little bitty old flap of the wings and gets on the current and soars and with an effortless flight. And it amazes me to see the eagles and the falcons and the hawks and even the old rotten buzzards. They are very big and noticeable. But a little sparrow in the woods that nobody may ever see, what good is that? What can they do? What can you do? You're not CEO. You're not the big man on the totem pole. You're not the lady in charge. You're not equipped. You're not able to do what others can. That sparrow could look and say, I'm not an eagle. There ain't a thing I can do. What am I worth? What can I do? What am I supposed to do? Well, ask God. There's a value in your work. If we assume that we got to have some big position to have purpose, we'd be assuming wrong. Could I say this? You may not be an eagle. By the way, you may be an eagle. But you may not be one. There's fewer eagles than there are sparrows, I promise you that. And you may feel like I'm not as young as I used to be. And I can't go like I used to go. And I can't think as fast as I used to think. And I can't do what I could do. I'm getting older. Things are slowing down. I'm not able to do what I used to could. Good gracious, I know that. But that doesn't mean you are of no value. By the way, could I say this? God doesn't need our work anyway. I mean, God does pretty good by himself, just speaking. And he could, if he so desired, will everything to work just like he wants it without you and me. Now, he does use you and me, but he doesn't have to have us. So my point is, instead of concentrating on my work and what I can do and what I can accomplish and how many waves I make in this world and how many lives I touch, which all those things are fine if God's in it. But instead of worrying about how much work I do or don't do, let's look at our heart and our attitude. Well, why do I say that? Glad you asked. Because that's what God does. When they were searching for a king, they looked through all the sons of Jesse, big and strong and young and vibrant. And finally they said, well, is there any more? Yeah, there is a little one down there watching the sheep. Let me get him. Almost forgotten. But the Lord said during that time, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. It isn't the outward circumstances, how much dust I'm kicking up in this world, how much I'm doing, even though all that's important, but it's what's going on in my heart. God wants my heart right. Psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God did a good job on me. I can't hardly even say that, but that's what the verse says. I will praise thee, for I am by you made fearfully. That word fearfully has an idea of a reverence. In other words, God carefully, thoughtfully, with reverence, made mankind. Made you. He had a reverence when he made you. In other words, it was important to him about you. Our human body is so complex. And David said, I will praise thee, for I was fearfully and wonderfully made. He's saying God had a reverence when he made me, and he made me like me. And David said all that, and he didn't have the knowledge that we have today that are provided by x-rays and DNA and MRIs and microscopes that reveal so much of the wonder of the human body. But he said, boy, God really, human terms, tried hard when he made you. He worked hard on you. He did a special work. Could I say it again? You don't have to go to space. You don't have to go to a foreign country. Just look at yourself. God worked hard making you just right. And he wasn't talking about our performance and what we do and what we accomplish. Now that has its place. I'll preach that for long probably. I do all the time. He wasn't talking about what we do that makes us so wonderful and so fearfully and wonderfully made. He's talking about us, me as a person. He's talking about you. That means the shut-in that's not gone out of the house for a year, who loves the Lord and has the right attitude, is just as valuable to God as the biggest preacher in the world right now. And he worked on her or him in the shut-in bed just as fervently as he did the preacher who's flying the world, preaching to thousands and millions. Because you're worth something, and there is a work to do. But the work you're to do is what the Lord wants you to do. I've told you often about Mrs. White. When I went to the Little White Baptist Church, when I got saved, and I was there a couple of years, there was a lady that had been in the bed years at that time, named Mrs. White. And we would go visit with her, and we would have college prayer meetings in her house. Every time we went, Mrs. White was in such a good attitude, and she was talking about, I've been praying for y'all, and I'm so glad to see y'all. And I thought if I was laying there on that bed for a week, I'd probably be complaining and belly aching. But Mrs. White had one thing in mind. She had some value. She mattered to God, and she was going to do what she could do. Could she do what others did? No, but she could do what she did. By the way, Betty Floyd was the same way. She couldn't do all that others could do. But you go by her house after she fell months in that hospital bed, and every time she was awake where she could know I was there, she'd speak well and smile and talk about how good God was. And I'll tell you what, I left her house better because of the visit. I'm talking about you may not be an eagle. You can't do what they do, but you can do what a sparrow can do. There's a work you can do. There's something you can do. Do it, do it, do it. There's something you can do. Do it. You say, what can I do? Well, number one, you ask me, remember? You ask me. Don't complain. Don't complain. I'll tell you one thing, the thing that ruins us when things aren't what we want them to be or what we envision our life to be is we start complaining about what I can't do, what it used to be like, what I'm not able to do, how I feel, what's going on. One thing you could do, and me too, by the way, to glorify God and do a good work for Him is not complain. That little bird didn't look at me and say, I've really had a bad day, Rick. I'm not an eagle down here in this little old tree looking for another crumb, looking for another worm. Oh, I've just had a bad day. No, that bird seemed awful happy. He chirped and flew off. I say this morning, there is a work you can do. You may not be an eagle soaring, but you could be a sparrow. Do what you can do. What can you do? Number one, don't complain about what you can't do. Number two, do what you can do. I guarantee you one thing, and I've said this to a lot of people. You can pray. And you know what I get most of the time? Well, I know I can, if that. We look at prayer as something that, well, that's what you do when you can't do anything else. Oh, my, how dumb that is. I'll tell you what we need. If you're locked up in a shut-in bed or if you're in, you can go anywhere you want to. One thing we need nowadays is some prayer warriors. We need some prayer warriors. You may not be all you used to be, but you can be what you can be, and you can pray. I'm telling you, the battle is not won in the pulpit. It's won in the closet before we come. And you could be praying for these people you know are hurting or troubled or struggling. You could be praying for these people who are lost or people who are backslidden or people who are just going through things. You can pray for them, and I guarantee you, you can rock heaven. You may not be able to do all you can do, but you can do what you can do, and you can pray. You can be a prayer warrior. You cannot complain. You can pray. You can encourage others. How can I encourage others? Well, first, by not discouraging them. And when you're able to talk to somebody, try to encourage them. I've gone to many houses. Burroughs the same way. Down, just barely able to go now in the house, can't get out, can't go. But I always get encouraged when I go. And I'll tell you what, you can do that. You may not be a shut-in, but you can encourage others. You can encourage them by your conversation, by what you say to them, by your calls. That's why I emphasize so often, call people. You don't have to talk all day. In fact, you probably don't need to. My calls, I promise you, are short. It does not mean I don't like you. It means I feel like if you don't feel good, you don't want to talk to me a long time. Plus, I probably got about 10 more people to call. Plus, I just feel like I can't say much. I don't know what to say, so I just call and say, hey, how you doing? Praying for you. Enjoy the conversation. But call them. How can you encourage by not discouraging? Also by your conversation, what you say, but then also by calls, also by cards. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I had looked at a card. My desk gets piled up. And every 4 or 5 months, I hose it out and start over. Not quite that much. But I was working through all my stack of stuff, and I found a card that had gotten about a month ago. and I reread that card, and I'll tell you what, it blessed me again. I'll tell you what, you can do something. There's a worth in your life. You may not be an eagle, but you're a sparrow. Encourage others. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. There's a lot in that verse. I'll just say it like this. Just do what you can. Cast your bread out and let God take care of it. It may not be a bunch of bread, but throw out your crumbs, what you can do. I have mentioned this morning our worth, our work. Could have mentioned this? Our wage. I'm glad God pays His workers. He pays His people, not just for what we do. It's a part of it. Faithfulness. But what we are in our hearts. What we are in our hearts. The Lord said, if you give a cup of cold water, you'll not lose your reward. In chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, the Lord's examining people who led their lives as they did. And one of the things that He talks about, well, this is what you did or this is what you didn't do. And He said things like this, you fed people. That ain't very big. And He said, you gave them a bed to stay in. Well, that ain't very big. That didn't rock the world when I let these people stay at my house one night as they're traveling. And He said, you gave them something to drink. Well, can I say that ain't much? But He said, that's what got you rewards. Because I was watching. And the world thought, big deal. But I thought, big deal. God thought, big deal. It is a big deal. It's 1 Corinthians 3:14 talks about standing before the Lord, the mercy seat. And it says, if any man's work abides, if any man's work, which means what we did according to our ability. He did not say, if you rock the world, if you changed continents, if you were noticed, if you kicked up a bunch of dust, if everybody talked about you. No, He says, if you did what you could do, if you did what you could do, I'll pay you. Our way. So, let me close with this. What in the world do I do? What in the world does this mean? Well, I think it means we need to love Christ. Love the Lord. Now He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be faithful to Him. And He definitely deals with us if we don't. But more than service, He wants us to love Him. By the way, He wants us to serve Him because we love Him. And I am very serious. And I'm sorry to say this, but I think most of us serve Him because we got to, or we're afraid we're not to. Or because He's been good to us, which is not bad reasons. But I'm not so sure many of us really serve Him just because we love Him. And He wants us to serve Him because we love Him. What am I to do? We need to love Christ. Love Him. And whatever I can do to serve Him, do it. Service without love is empty. What do I need to do? Well, I need to love Christ. What do I need to do? I need to live clean. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. He said, be an example of the believers. Live right before others. Do what you can do. He said, be an example of the believers. He's saying, Timothy, those God puts in your life, be an example of godliness. Live clean. Now, the ones that the Lord puts in your life probably will be a whole lot less than the ones that He put in Timothy's life or Paul's life or David's life, or most of us won't touch that many. But those that we do touch, we're to be an example to. Your them may not be but five people a week. You may not be touching a whole lot of people, a lot of people not watching you because of the life you live and where you're at in life. But I promise you, every one of those who do see you and do know you and those that you are an example to matter to God. So what we do matters too. We're to live clean. Whether I touch 500 people a week or 5 people a week, I'm to be an example to them. What do I need to do? Well, I need to love Christ. I need to live clean. I need to labor consistently. Whatever I can't do, I need to do it and do it again and do it again and do the best I can with God's help. If it's what others do or not, big deal. I do what I'm supposed to do. You do what you're supposed to do. If you can't do what you used to do, hello, that's life. But do what you can. We're to labor consistently, and then we give the results to Him. Whatever He wants to do through me, with me, by me, is up to Him. If you look at the toothpaste box, you'd say, man, I'm getting more. But you would be assuming wrong. Well, now, I'll be honest. It didn't bother me a whole lot other than I thought, man, they are cheating people, and they know it. But there are some things we can assume that can be very dangerous. That's what I'm talking about. It's easy to assume that position means purpose. You got a purpose no matter where your position is. Let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're saved? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? If you don't know that, sure would be a good time to get that settled. Jesus Christ died for you, rose again for you, that you could come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Please forgive me. Birth me into your family. If He's speaking to you, He'll do that. If you'll come, call. As the same person, listen, I don't know where you're at in life, but you're valuable. You matter to Him. Not because of what you do, in part, sure, but because of who you are and how your heart is. Let's stand together.